ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टतृषामेष पुरा नार्कोऽधुनोदिताः। ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् की जय। दिस् इस् केण्टो 1 चाप्टर् 8 एण्ड् विल् बिगिन् वित् टेक्स्ट् नम्बर् 18। दिस् बिगिन्स् द कुन्ती स्तव प्रेयर्स् बै क्वीन् कुन्ती।
Why?
You want the verse on the
TV? Oh, no, Nina. I'll just, okay. In the interest of time, because we have to cover several verses.
Sure.
I'll just repeat the Sanskrit and then
sure.
We can go on. Kunti uvacha namasye purusham tvadhyam ishwaram prakrite param alakshyam sarva bhutanam antar bahiravasthitam. Srimati Kunti said, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srimati Kunti Devi was quite aware that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, although he was playing the part of her nephew. Such an enlightened lady could not commit a mistake by offering obeisances unto her nephew. Therefore, she addressed him as the original Purusha, beyond the material cosmos. Although all living entities are also transcendental, they are neither original nor infallible. The living entities are apt to fall down under the clutches of material nature, but the Lord is never like that. In the Vedas, therefore, he is described as the chief among all living entities, nityo nityanam chetanish chetananam. Then again, he is addressed as Ishwara, or the controller. The living entities, or the demigods like Chandra and Surya, are also to some extent Ishwara, but none of them is the supreme Ishwara, or the ultimate controller. He is the Parameshwara, or the Supersoul. He's both within and without. Although he was present before Srimati Kunti as her nephew, he was also within her and everyone else. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says, I am situated in everyone's heart, and only due to me one remembers, forgets, and is cognizant, etc. Through all the Vedas, I'm to be known, and because I'm the compiler of the Vedas, and I'm the teacher of the Vedanta. Queen Kunti affirms that the Lord, although both within and without all living beings, is still invisible. The Lord is, so to speak, a puzzle for the common man. Queen Kunti experienced personally that Lord Krishna was present before her, yet he entered within the womb of Uttara to save her embryo from the attack of Ashwatthama's Brahmastra. Kunti herself was puzzled about whether Sri Krishna is all-pervasive or localized. In fact, he is both, but he reserves the right of not being exposed to persons who are not surrendered souls. This checking curtain is called Maya, the Maya energy of the Supreme Lord, and it controls the limited vision of the rebellious soul. It is explained as follows. Maya javani gacchannam agnyadhokshamavavyayam nalakshyase murhadrusha nato natyadharo yatha. Kunti continues. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Om jnana timarantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur nitam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. Mukam kurivachalam pangam langhayate girim yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinatharanam. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse is represented by Srila Prabhupada's purport. First, he takes each word at a time and he tells us, Namasye. Namasye. Kunti Devi is offering obeisances to whom?
Krishna.
Who is Krishna? Her nephew. Raise your hand if you've ever offered your obeisances to your nephew. So certainly, if we don't even make that mistake, why would Kunti Devi make that mistake? Someone might question this. Therefore, she specifies, why am I offering obeisances to you, my nephew? Krishna, actually, he gives this in the form of a conversation. Krishna says, wait a minute, I'm your nephew. Why are you offering obeisances to me? So she says, because you are Purusham. Purusham. But there are so many Purushas here. We're all Purushas. So why me? Well, Tva. Tva means what? Tvam. Tum. Hindi mein tum. Bhojpuri, isn't it? No, Maithili, they say Tva. It's clearly the same thing. So, Adyam, because you're the beginningless Purusha. But all living entities are beginningless. So what's the distinction? Therefore, she says, Ishwaram, you're the Ishwara. But you have Kashi Naresh, you have so many Nareshas, no? You have Suresh, also Indra, as Prabhupada mentions here in his purport, Chandra, Surya, so many Ishwaras. Lord Shiva is also called Ishwara. So then she specifies further, Prakriti Param. You're beyond this material nature. Yeah. Not very many Purushas are beyond material nature. This is the point. And because you're beyond material nature, you are Alakshyam. Alakshyam means we don't get the clue. We don't see. He's subtle. Why don't we see? Alakshyam Sarvabhudanam Antar Bahiravastitam. Even he's outside of us, in the form of the deity, we still don't get it. Even if he's within our hearts as Paramatma, we still don't get it. Why is that? Antar Bahiravastitam Alakshyam Sarvabhutanam. We fall into this category. Raise your hand if you don't fall into the category of Sarvabhutanam. We belong in that category. Therefore, Prabhupada concludes his purport. He reserves the right of not being exposed to persons who are not surrendered souls. If we're not surrendered, then we cannot perfectly, somewhat we perceive. At least we have enough perception that we believe in God. That much perception we have. Later on in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that we are covered in different degrees by this Maya of the Lord. He says, just like smoke covers a fire, just like dust covers a mirror, or just like a womb covers the embryo. What do these three represent?
Lust. Different degrees of lust.
Different degrees of lust, but they're also called what? There are names for them. In order. Dust covering a mirror, smoke covering fire, and
womb covering an embryo.
Yes. It's like being in the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Different degrees. When someone is thoroughly absorbed in ignorance, he doesn't see anything. Just like when your mirror Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this analogy also. Cheto darpana marjanam. Cheto darpana marjanam. You can clean a mirror. What if you never clean the mirror? Let's say there's a mirror in your attic, if you have an attic. Nobody has an attic in an apartment complex. But if you don't clean it for years, you may forget that it's a mirror, right? Because it doesn't look like a mirror. It's completely covered with dust. You may think it's just a whiteboard or something, correct? Is it? Yes. So you can become so covered over, and we see that there are people in this world who become so covered by ignorance that they don't even realize that they are a soul. They don't even realize that there's God. Just as we don't realize that we're dealing with a mirror, even if it's right in front of us, because the covering is that thick. That is the mode of ignorance. And where does that covering come from? We discussed this yesterday. Kama. Our desire. If we have strong material desires, we can't see anything, because we won't see anything. Jesus Christ said in the Bible, there are none so blind as they who refuse to see. And this is the case. If you don't want what you see, then you, Krishna, from within the heart, this is Prabhupada's paraphrasing here, matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. You want to be bewildered? I'll cover you over forever. Tikre hega. Or if you are less covered over than that, but still very passionate. You've got lots of desires. You want to do so many things. You want to fulfill your desires. Then it's like a little bit more covered. And mode of sattva guna, it's even less covered. You see? So the womb is the worst thing. This is like worse than a mirror that's completely covered with dust. The womb covering an embryo, you can't see anything. Until a few years ago, they didn't even know, is it a boy or a girl, you see? And maybe it was better that way. What is that? Not humdo hamarido, but there's another one they say. Anyway, so many government campaigns to save these poor little girls. Now, if you're a busy working lady and don't have time for children, you can go into the office, or you can go into the clinic on your lunch break. You can have a lunch break abortion in Hyderabad. I saw it. Can be done.
Krishna.
Just see. So that's very covered over. And what is this covering? Maya Javanika, the curtain of Maya. Achannam. Achannam means pratichannam, Sridhar Swami says. Totally covered over by this curtain. You can't see what's on the other side. You see? Why? Agnya. Because we're ignorant. This is tamasic. We're in the mode of ignorance. And adhoksha jamavyayam. This person, although he's inexhaustible, he adhoksha jam. What does adhoksha jam mean? Adha aksha ja.
Transcendental.
Huh? Transcendental. Beyond this mundane. But literally, does anybody know? Adhaha means down. Yes. And akshaja means things that are born of your eyes. Eyes being representative of your senses in general. So any knowledge that you get akshaja through your senses, that's okay. You can learn something that way. Pratyaksha, it's called. But this Krishna is because he's covered by this Maya Javanika. Because he doesn't have to reveal himself to just anybody and everyone. So he covers himself with his Maya curtain for those of us who are to any degree ignorant. Therefore, adhokshaja means he pushes down this knowledge gained from the senses. He makes it totally insignificant. It is insignificant to reach him. This is the point. Therefore, we say beyond or transcendental. It means the same thing. But really what it means is he pushes down this process of trying to grahyam indriyaihi, try to grasp him with your senses. Well, who knows the verse? Nabhavet grahyam indriyai? Anybody know? Okay. Ataha Shri Krishna namadi nabhavet grahyam indriyai. It's not with your senses that you understand this holy name. We were just chanting a few moments ago. We were all hearing, and so we have some theoretical knowledge. But it is not with the ears that you're going to enter into the mystery of this holy name. It comes through bhakti. And Krishna will not reveal himself unless he's pleased that we have the bhakti. One time a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, how do I know when Krishna is pleased with my service? Those who have heard many of my lectures, they know what the answer is to this. Prabhupada answered, when he tells you so. So this is how it works. Krishna will reveal himself in the form of, oh my God, all along, he's right here with me. I'm chanting his name every day. Finally, I recognize Teflon en la mente. Él dice en español. So, na lakshyase murhadrisha. This is the point. They don't see those who have murhadrisha. What does murhadrisha mean? Animal vision, stupid vision, foolish vision. Some vision is there, though, hey, like, and it's not going to work. He's a dhokshaja. He's beyond that. Animals can come and they can hear. In Vrindavan, I was in Indrajuna Swami's house, and we were doing kirtan there. And I noticed that for the entire duration of the kirtan, there were two monkeys sitting on the roof of the house across the street. Evidently, they were listening to the kirtan. When the kirtan ended, then they left. Vrindavan, you know, these things happen all the time. It doesn't work according to ordinary, you can't figure it out by pratyaksha. You can't even figure it out by anuman. It's working in different principles. Everything is under the direction of Shirata. But they have monkey bodies. And one commentator on the Rupa Goswami's Pajavali writes, it's not enough to live in the temple, even. Most of us don't live in the temple, but even if we do live in the temple, it's not enough because the rats also live in the temple. And the birds, monkeys, we see them in Krishna Balaram Mandir. Monkeys sitting on top of the shikhar of the temple next to the chakra trying to have sex because they're monkeys, you see. So this is murhadrisha. And those who are murhas in this way, nalakshyase, they don't get the clue. Maya javanika achannam. He remains covered. Nato natyatharo yatha. Natyathara. Who is a natyathara? An actor on a stage. Or a dancer on the stage. Nata means a dancer, in fact. Just like we say Bharatanatyam. So multhardisha. The analogy is perfect. Some people who don't know anything, they're not trained in aesthetics or any kind of drama or dance or music. They see that just like we have our Janmashtami festival, we have somebody comes and dances, does some cultural program. That we know that much. But is it Bharatanatyam? Is it Kuchipudi? Is it Odissi? Is it Kathak? Kathakali? What is it? That we don't know. And even if we do know, okay, Kathak. Okay, but is it Jaipur Kathak or is it Lucknow Kathak? That much we don't know. And even if we know further than that, we watch the tabla player. What's he doing? Dagitita, dagitita, karatita, dagitita. But we don't understand this much. Somebody who understands art, he knows everything that's going on. Anything he sees, he can understand immediately. Which gharana he's coming from, who's his teacher, how does it work? Everything he knows. Because he has knowledge. But the Agnya, they just say, okay, there's some cultural program going on. That much they know, you see? They're not even sure if it's dance or not. You see? So therefore, it's a good analogy. Maya javanika channam. In the same way, we have some clue. Okay, there's Bhagavan, there's Ishwara, Uparwala, Jandan. But to actually understand who is this God, and how to reawaken our relationship with him, and what is that relationship, and how does it work? The three categories Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given: sambandha gyan, abhideya gyan, and prayojana gyan. Sambandha means how does it all relate, abhideya means how do I apply it, prayojana means what is the ultimate goal. You see, this we have to know in detail. Therefore he says, first verse in chapter 7, just now it's escaping me. Mayasakta mama manat partha yogam yunjan mat ashraya asamshayam samagram mam yatha gnyasasi tachnam. You want to understand everything without any doubt? That means bilkul, pakka. Then you just hear. Just hear. This is the one verse, Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, text 1, that Srila Prabhupada spoke from more than any other verse in Bhagavad Gita. I saw a bumper sticker one time. It said, shut up and dance. This is what the bumper sticker said. So I thought, oh, it's very good for devotees, no? Except that devotees should not shut up when they dance. But so we can say similarly, just shut up and hear. It's like Ritviks, you know, what is the definition of a Ritvik? He likes to talk more than he likes to hear. You know, any kind of, sometimes we see, especially on the internet, those who are eager to say something, no, this is not the way. We have to hear. We have to hear, because we don't know so much. So much we don't know. Govinda Dasi told me that one time she was sitting with Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was explaining how the astronauts who never went to the moon, because the moon is so much, it's a heavenly planet, it's consisting of subtle, you know, energy. And Govinda Dasi was astonished to hear all this. It was a new revelation for her. She says, Srila Prabhupada, we never heard this before. And Prabhupada just looked at her very nicely and very sweetly with a smile on his face. He said, there's so much you don't know. Okay, so, therefore Kunti Devi also says, Tatha paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pasyema histriyah. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? Sridhar Swami writes that her mood is that, you know, I don't know anything about bhakti yoga. I can't understand. This is not for me. This is for the Paramahamsas, the Munis. But namasye, that much I know. This is what he says. Would that we all had her attitude. See, I can offer my obeisances. That much I know that I can do. Okay, Prabhupada says, even the greatest philosophical speculators cannot have access to the region of the Lord. He is unknowable by great learning or by the greatest brain. He is knowable only by one who has his mercy. This is in the Upanishads. Others may go on thinking about him for years together, but he is unknowable. This very fact is corroborated by the queen who is playing the part of an innocent woman. Playing the part. She's not foolish, although she says like that. Women in general are unable to speculate like philosophers, but they are blessed by the Lord because they believe at once in the superiority and almightiness of the Lord. And thus they offer obeisances without reservation. We discussed this yesterday, did we not? Somebody mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So, the masjids are full of men and the temples are full of women.
So is that again?
There's a joke like that. All the masjids are full of men.
Uh-huh.
All the temples are full of women. But Prabhupada writes about this here. He says, the Lord is so kind that he does not show special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. Why? Because antar bahiravastitam. He's within. For this reason only, women generally assemble in great number in any sort of religious function. In the household, who takes care of all the religious functions?
Women.
Always the women. Always. You see? And even in temples, as I said already, we know, it's clear. In every country and in every sect of religion, it appears that the women are more interested than the men. How does that make you men feel? Like we've got some work to do. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that the proper fruition, the safalta, if you, is that a word? So, safalya is what I want to say. The real fruit of chanting Gayatri Mantra, Kama Gayatri Mantra, is that you take a female birth in Vrindavan. This is our goal. This is our goal. Because they are, look at it this way. The material world is said to be the perverse, or maybe we can say inverse, reflection of the spiritual world, is it not?
Yes.
Okay. That means that the things which are considered lower in this material world are actually higher in that world. You see? So the women are considered to be lower classes, but they're actually better. It's something to think about, at least. Okay. So, the women are more interested than the men. This is another thing about Krishna in particular. Krishna is, we know Krishna himself is more fond of women also. And we know that women are also more fond of Krishna than the men. So they have a superior position. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers said this. Somebody asked him, what is the position of women in Krishna consciousness? This is his answer. He said, if we analyze from a spiritual perspective, we see that women have the superior position in Krishna consciousness. Okay, the simplicity. This simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. Okay? All right, now we're switching gears. I'm going to do two more verses and then we'll stop for the day. Because there's about maybe 25 or so verses in this stava. So if we do five or six a day, then we can finish. Very beautiful prayers, the next two prayers. I first heard these prayers from my godbrother, Paramananda Das. He's all the way back from 26 Second Avenue in New York, one of Prabhupada's very first disciples. Nobody knows who he is. He's not significant, never became a big guru, GBC, sannyasi, anything. But he was sitting in his office in what they used to call Nubarshana. This was in 1976. Now they call it, anybody know? Huh? Gita Nagari. Used to be called, Prabhupada changed the name in 1977. Can we delete these children or do we just double click on them? Something has to be done because they're... Yeah, yeah. Put on the airplane mode or something. So, in 1976, I happened to be walking past his office in Nuvarshana, which was one room in the house that was the temple. Just a small farm cottage. And he had one of those little children's drums, maybe this big, and he was playing on this drum behind his desk. And he was singing these verses. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankajanabhaya Nama Pankajamaline Nama Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajankhaye. This is a very beautiful verse, her description of Krishna in Vrindavan. She says, let me therefore offer my respectful obeisance. Why therefore? What has she concluded? This the understanding these things, it's beyond me.
Yeah.
She was humble. Therefore let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, the Lord being thus unapproachable by any material assets, out of unbounded and causeless mercy descends on the earth as he is, in order to show his special mercy upon his unalloyed devotees, and to diminish the upsurges of the demoniac persons. Queen Kunti specifically adores the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations, because in this particular incarnation he is more approachable. Rupa Goswami describes at great length in his Loku Bhagavatamritam, which you can now purchase from Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, care of Vaisheshika Prabhu at ISKCON Silicon Valley. He's very enthusiastic about selling these books. You can get one, or two, or more, depending on your thirst. So, he says that Krishna is the most merciful of all the different forms of Bhagavan. There are three major forms of Bhagavan described in the Shastra to be prominent. They're called Paravastha Rupas. Does anyone know who they are? Narasingha Dev? Have you read it?
No, Prabhupada writes in
Prabhupada. Yeah, yeah. So there's Narasingha Dev, Ramchandra, and Krishna. There's a long passage that he quotes verbatim from Parashar Muni in Vishnu Purana to substantiate that claim. Vishnu Purana, very high-class Purana, very well-respected Purana. So we won't get into that. That's another topic. But Krishna is more merciful. This is the point. And she specifically adores him as, first, as Vasudeva. Why Vasudeva? Namaste. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Why Vasudeva? What is her relation to Vasudeva? That's right. So you descended as the son of my brother. So she has a special relationship with Krishna. And therefore she's feeling some love, particularly thinking about the good fortune of her brother, but also thinking about her good fortune, that my brother, he took her, you see? But even more intimate than the love of Vasudev was the love of Devaki. Because mothers, again, men, this is where you are, you losers. Mothers always love the children more, or that at least they have the maternal sentiment. They take care. It's more intense. At least in Krishna consciousness, it's like that. So Vasudeva and Devaki, they were blessed that the Lord would appear as their son, but they didn't enjoy so much his childhood pastimes because he left right away. Therefore, Devaki is more fortunate because Devaki is also a name for
Yashoda.
Devaki Nandanam Vande Krishnam Gopala Rupinam. That's not very widely known fact, but it's confirmed also in the Shastra. But even more fortunate than both Vasudeva and Devaki was the love of King Nanda and the other Gopas in Vrindavan, because they got to enjoy all of Krishna's Braj Leelas, his Bal Leela. Why is Yashoda not mentioned? Why only Nanda and the Gopas? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes about this. The reason that he doesn't mention Yashoda is because her love is too intense. He doesn't want the pot to boil over just yet. So he turns down the flame a little bit. Okay. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya and Govindaya Namo Nama. But he's hinting something with the name Govinda. What is he hinting? Govinda. Govinda means many things. Yeah, he finds the cows. When the cows get lost, he steps through the mud in the marshes trying to chase after these lost calves. Krishna. Bilva Mangala Thakur says in one of his poems that this mighty personality of Godhead, you know, Mahanarayana in Vaikuntha, who is worshipped by great, you know, what is that? Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta Hastun Vanti Devyaistave. Rudra, Brahma, all these devas, they're offering Vedic prayers and glorification of the Lord. Vedai Sangha Parakramopanishadai Gayanti Yam Samagaha. Those who are chanting the Vedas themselves are offering their own prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, personified Shruti Stuti, the famous section of the Bhagavatam. And then, what is the third line? Dhyanavastitita gatena manasa pashyanti yom yogina. The person who is seen by very concentrated meditation by the yogis within their hearts, and they can only get as far as Paramatma, this person. Yasyantam naviduhu sura suragana devaya tasmai namaha. That deity whom even the demigods cannot perceive. When he comes to Vrindavan, what ornament is sufficient to glorify him? What ornament in Vrindavan can outdo the Vedic prayers offered even by sages and demigods? And then he answers the question, squishy cow dung. That is the ornament that he accepts on his feet when he comes to Vrindavan. Similarly, he's walking through squishy mud in the marshes and he's chasing after cows out of love only. Gopala, Govinda. So Govinda, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he's always got some esoteric vision on these things. He says, when did Krishna get the name Govinda?
Indra gave
this name after he lifted Govardhan Hill. So all the rasas are supported in Govardhan Leela, but particularly the gopis. They're not mentioned, but it's very strongly implied. Because when he's this age, the gopis are already madly in love with him. The elders, they don't believe it. They think this is just malicious gossip. They say so many things, Radha Krishna, this, that, but, you know, they don't believe it. But anyway, the gopis, they're kind of indicated here by Govinda, because he had this name later. And then he says, later on in the Bhagavatam, this will be explained further. But for now, she concludes, Kunti Devi, Namaha Pankajana Abhaya Nama Pankajamaline Nama Pankajane Traya Namaste Pankajankriye. These are the specific things. Lotus flower. Does anybody know what is this, what do you call this stuff? Javadhu? Any South Indians here? Women sometimes use this. Javadhu. It's the powder that you get from inside the lotus flower. Very fragrant. Mm. Sometimes we use it to make chandan for the deity. So Kunti Devi, she's comparing the Lord's feet are compared to lotuses. The Lord's navel is compared to lotus. His eyes are compared to lotus. You see? And he's got a garland of lotuses. And she says, when I'm seeing this sight, then my eyes become as cool and pleasing as lotus flowers also. Surdas, the Braj poet Surdas, he's written a very nice song. You've heard this song. Jagiye Brajaraja Kumara Kamala Kusuma Phule, no? So he says, in the morning, when the Lord opens his lotus-like eyes, because when the sun comes up, the lotus flowers open, correct? So similarly, in the morning when the sun comes up, the Lord also opens his eyes. Mother Yashoda doesn't know why he never wants to wake up in the morning. There are so many things. We don't really know. We only know that we put him to bed at night. What he does after that, we don't know. But he has two poems, and one of these poems, he says that the Lord, when he's falling asleep at night, Yashoda puts him to bed at night, and his eyes, they also lotus eyes, huh? Kamala Netra. So they start closing up. And what happens when there's a bee in there enjoying all this kinjalka, the powder in the lotus, and the lotus flower starts closing up, the bee gets trapped inside overnight. He can't get out. Therefore, he has to wait for the mercy of the sun the next morning when the sun opens up the lotus flower. And then the little bees are like this, moving around, and they go out, you see? And where do they go? Kadachit kalindi takavipina sangita karavo mudabhiri nari vadana kamalasvada madhupa. His eyes are like little bees, but where do the bees go? They go to every one lotus face of one gopi after another. All the gopis have a different flavor of lotus face. And he's like the little bee who goes to, his eyes are like the little bees that come out of the lotus flower when they open up in the morning, and he goes and for one tastes the lotus-like face of one gopi after another. So here he's made Kunti's face also lotus-like. No doubt he's also enjoying that. But Aravinda Bandhu, Rupa Goswami says, Aravinda Bandhu means the sun is the friend of the lotus flowers. One of my godbrothers told me, if you've not only lotus flowers, roses also, you've all been to Vrindavan, everybody? Mm-hmm. So you know that the roses in Vrindavan, they're uncommonly fragrant. Mm-hmm. Is it not? There's just, I mean, it's salient. It's really just very striking, actually, how fragrant the roses are. So he told me one day, do you know why these roses are so fragrant? So I said, why? He said, because Radha Shyam Sundar's bagicha is just near the Yamuna bank. And Yamuna knows very well that if she puts all of her love into the water that these roots are sucking up under the ground, then it will be absorbed into those roses, and those roses will be offered to Radha Shyam Sundar. So that's what she does, Yamuna Devi.
Yeah.
And that's why the roses are so fragrant. This was his, I don't know how he got this insight, I didn't ask him, but this is what he told me. Therefore, Rupa Goswami prays, Bhaturanta kasya pattane bibhatti harini, prekshayati papi nopi papa sindhutarini, niramadhuri bhirapyashesha chitta bandhini, mam punatu saravadalavinda bandhunandini. My dear daughter of the friend of the lotus. Who is the friend of the lotus? The sun. And who is the daughter of the sun?
Yamuna.
What does Yamuna mean? Yama Anuja. The younger sister of Yama. Correct. In Mathura we have Yama Yami temple near the Vishranti Ghat. Okay, so he says, this Yamuna is so auspicious, I pray that you please purify me, dear Yamune. Why? Because if somebody, even if a very sinful person, Bhraturanta kasya pattane bibhatti harini, you remove the calamity of having to make a journey to the capital city of your brother. Who is her brother? Yamaraj. Yamuna does this. And prekshayati papinopi papa sindhu darini. You deliver this person from an ocean of sins. Where are we now? We're in Atlanta. It's hard for me to keep track sometimes. Atlanta, you don't have an ocean. But if you've seen the ocean, you can just, next time you see the ocean, just think about this. What does it mean? Ocean of sin. Well, what is the hope? Especially if you're Indian, because everybody knows that Indians don't swim. Southern California has wildfires, so that's something they can relate to. And that analogy is also there. Sangsara davana lalihaloka. Once I was at my mother's house, they had terrible wildfires. Every summer, they burn down half the state in Southern California, wildfires. Sometimes they're not wild. Sometimes arson set the fire on purpose, because everybody also knows that all Southern Californians are basically crazy because of too much sense gratification. I'm a native of that place. So I can say like this.
You're a native of Vrindavan.
Anyway, so I saw that the whole sky was orange and half the city was wearing these masks like the Chinese people do. Because it was that bad. There was smoke was everywhere. What can you do? Every summer now for the past 10 or so years, the government of California has called in the fire departments from the entire western half of the United States just to help them put out these wildfires, because it's too much. Hundreds and thousands of acres. Nobody's doing any yajna there, so Agni just eats whatever he wants. Anyway, Aravinda Bantu, Yamuna, if a sinful person is drowning in the ocean of sins, then prekshayati, even that person, just by looking at Yamuna Devi, he becomes delivered from that ocean of sinful reactions. Nira madhuri bhirapyashesha chitta bandhini. Everybody knows what is nira. We have rail nir. If you take your train, they give you rail nir. Nira means water. So, nira madhuri bhiri. Apyashesha chitta bandhini. Boundless ecstasy is given to the hearts of the pure-minded souls, just by seeing the sweetness of her water. In this way, so many things we can say about Yamuna. Anyway, so we're on the topic of lotuses now. The lotuses used to grow in the Yamuna before it was contaminated 200 times above the legal limit set by the government. About 20 years ago, one professor on the East Coast, Dr. David Haberman, wrote a book called Yamuna, River of Love in an Age of Pollution. And he described how the Yamuna, when it comes out of the foothills, it is immediately shunted into Himachal Pradesh on one side, Uttaranchal on the other side, and is 90% of her water is used for irrigation. 10% of that water is allowed to go to Delhi. Of the water that reaches Delhi, 100% is processed through either a factory in Delhi or through a human body in Delhi. And that is returned to the Yamuna River Basin, and that flows into Vrindavan. This is the state of Yamuna Devi now. You can't kill a goddess, but the UN declared the Yamuna a dead river 20 years ago. These are some interesting facts about Yamuna that we should actually do something about, according to the ISKCON GBC. It gave a sort of a mandate some years ago that devotees should raise awareness of the Yamuna situation. Devotees should make special programs and glorify Yamuna. We should pray to Yamuna. We should praise Yamuna, sing her kirtans, etc., etc. So in the old days, according to, you know this Kandilwala Pustakwala in Purana Bajar, Vrindavan, anybody know? There's only one Hindi bookstore, a big Hindi bookstore in Vrindavan, Kandilwala. So he said that 30 years ago, you could throw a coin into the Yamuna at Keshigat and watch it go all the way to the bottom. Only 30 years old, this problem. That means it is reversible if the willpower is there, but it's a constant jagara. You know, there's asuras and devas, they're constantly fighting, no? So somebody wants to exploit the Yamuna because he has mudra drisha, so he only sees hydroelectric potential. And somebody wants to worship Yamuna because his vision is not mudra, his vision is adhyatmic vision. So, about 2 or 3 years ago, I went to Brahmandaghat. And in Brahmandaghat, there's a very beautiful place where there was an old movie of Srila Prabhupada taking bath there also. Prabhupada took his bath at Brahmandaghat. In those days, it was clean. This time when I got there, I saw there was a 2-foot-high blanket of soap suds from this bank all the way to the other side. And I looked right, and as far as I could see upstream, it extended. And I looked left, and as far as I could see downstream, the same thing extended. Okay. So I pushed the soap suds away. I took a palm full of water, and the water was black and viscous. So how are the lotuses going to grow there? In fact, anything that grows there, nothing grows there. There's a fringe of, like, you know, dried yellow dead grass on the bank of the river because it's too close. And now even farmers and other people are getting cancer at record degrees. So it's an unfortunate situation which we should all do something about. Those of us who have any means at all should consider what to do about it. But pankaja means out of the mud comes this flower. Pankaja, the word pankaja is used here. Born in the mud. But this Krishna consciousness is, pankaja, is a lotus flower, is a symbol for Krishna consciousness also. Because lotus flowers offered to the Lord, he wears them as his mala. And his eyes are as beautiful as lotus flowers. And his feet are compared to the soft petals of a lotus, pink on the bottom, with all the symbols of Lord Vishnu. So Srila Prabhupada writes, the Lord may appear as one of us, but he is always distinct from his distinct bodily, specific bodily features. Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because women Shudras and Dvijabandhus are unfit by intelligence to understand the transcendental subject matter concerning the supreme name, fame, attributes, forms, etc. of the supreme absolute truth. Such persons, although they are unfit to enter into the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see him as the Archa Vigraha, who descends on the material world just to distribute favors to the fallen souls, including the above-mentioned women, Shudras and Dvijabandhus. Therefore, the Lord is known as Pankajanabhi, because he appears from the lotus stem. From his lotus comes the lotus flower from which Lord Brahma came. Therefore, the Lord is called Pankajanabhi. This Pankajanabhi form accepts the Archavigraha. Why? How is this? Why is it that the Archavigraha is Pankajanabhi? It's a hard question. There are three Purusha avatars. Who are they? Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. Well, first of all, Karanodakashayi Vishnu. We're talking about Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. And then Shirodakashayi Vishnu. From Karanodakashayi Vishnu comes Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. From Garbhodakashayi Vishnu comes Kshirodakashayi Vishnu. Kshirodakashayi Vishnu in this world expands as Paramatma, and the deity comes from the Paramatma within the heart of the devotee who installs him. Therefore, Prabhupada says this. The Lord is known as Pankajanabhi. This Pankajanabhi Lord accepts the Archavigraha, the transcendental form in different elements, namely a form within the mind, wood, earth, metal, jewel, paint, or sand. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees always engaged in material wranglings. All the great acharyas established such temples of worship in all places, just to favor the less intelligent, and one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of Shudras, or women, or less. One should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet, gradually rising to the thighs, waist, chest, and face. One should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. So why did Kunti begin her description from the Lord's navel instead of the Lord's feet?
She didn't want to embarrass him because she's... auntie.
She's his auntie. So that much Yoga Maya has influence on Kunti Devi. We hardly have any influence of Yoga Maya. We're influenced by Maha Maya. I think we should stop now. It's taken a long time just to say this much, and I'm rambling. So does anybody have any questions or any comments? Yes, sir, would
you? What did you say after like Paramatma and deity relation?
The Paramatma in the heart is an expansion of Kshirodakashayi Vishnu, and it is from the Paramatma within the heart of the pure devotee that the deity in the temple is installed. The devotee invites the Lord within his own heart to take the form as the deity in the temple, and the Lord agrees to do that because he's a pure devotee. This is described in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The system of prana pratishtha, it's called. The Lord comes out of the heart of the pure devotee and he enters into the deity. That's why not just anybody can do this. Only a pure devotee can do so.
So what about home deities?
When we
do welcoming of home deities?
Home deities. Well, that's why they should be installed. And the process is to install deities. We don't worship uninstalled deities, and to install a deity you have to have a pure devotee installed. That is the vidhi. Otherwise, yajantya vidhi purvakam.
But in the home, when we install deities, we are not able to do the kind of worship they do in temple.
No, home worship is less rigorous than temple worship. That's understood. Why is that? Because when a guest comes, the Lord is considered to be your guest. And when a guest comes to your house, the guest can't make demands. The guest has to accept whatever you offer. So the Lord is so merciful that he will do this. So home worship standard can be a little less, but it has to be yathaviti still. We have to follow the rules. The rules can be very relaxed, that's up to the acharya, but we have to follow the rules.
So the home deity should also be installed.
Worshipping uninstalled deities is idol worship, because it's avithi purvakam. deities have to be installed, otherwise it's not really worship. It's analogous worship.
And the installation is what happens in the temple, like that? Actually,
yeah.
Yeah,
but the process of worship can be relative. It's arbitrated by the acharya, and also the process of installation can also be the relative standards. But the principle is there that the deity has to be installed, and he has to be installed by the acharya.
So most of us, we have garnita deities,
and it's wrong thing to do. You will not find any evidence in Srila Prabhupada's books to support this practice.
So we won't get the result, Prabhuji? I mean, if we'll just worship, though we did some...
You will get some result, because we all only get some result, if you think about it. Depending on the degree to which we're covered, even if we're worshipping an installed deity in the temple, we still, you know, we've already discussed that it's not enough to live in the temple even. You have to be Krishna conscious. So the result that you get depends on the bhakti that you invest.
I mean, if we get the kripa bindu, even if you get one drop of mercy, it would be enough for us.
Well, that's evidently the case, if you know what I mean.
But Prabhupada said that the grahastha should have deities.
That's right. Grahastha should worship. In fact, in the seventh canto, in his commentary on these verses, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Ityadi, when Prabhupada is discussing Archanam, he mentions that because grihasthas are dealing with the material world in a very grubby manner, therefore their consciousness becomes contaminated much more easily. And he goes so far as to say that unless they worship the deity to purify their consciousness of that contamination, their fall down is positively assured. Those are his words verbatim. We don't read Prabhupada's books. That's why we don't know these things. Yes, Mata.
But even if your deities are not installed, isn't this good practice? So, I mean, at least we're practicing serving Krishna.
Okay.
In our hearts. Is this true that at least until they are installed?
I have no objection. Yes.
Prabhuji, I've been willing to understand that this pratishtha that we are talking about, pran pratishtha, so in similarly they say in the house they do the prem pratishtha, right?
Who says that?
When I asked some very seniors, that is what they said, that in the house you don't do the pran pratishtha, you do the prem pratishtha. That with love, when a senior devotee, just like in the temple, it's always a pure devotee who invites the Lord.
Mm.
So I was given to understand that in the home, it's prem pratishtha, means through the love and the devotion, a senior pure devotee invites the Lord.
That sounds a lot like what I just said. So what is the difference?
That's what I wanted to get from you. What's the difference between the pran pratishtha and the prem pratishtha? Because these both terms, I have heard it multiple times. So
I don't think they're different things.
So is it the same whole process that... that's done in the temple has to be done in the house also?
No, that's relative, I mentioned. The standard can be very simple. The very simplest standard of worship that you can do, you're offering dupa, deepa, gantha, pushpa, naivedya, vas. Anybody can do that. This is exactly what Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, no? Patram pushpam palam tayam ityadi. So that's okay. And similarly, the installation can also be very simple. But it has to be yathaviti, and it has to be authorized by the acharya. This is the point.
So if a ISKCON guru names the deities, there is devotees come together to kirtan, and they request the deity Gaurnitha to accept service, is that yathaviti?
I don't know, but you better ask the other Mukundadatta. Vrindavan mein do Mukundadatta hai na, ek mukhya pujari hai. So I can tell you about Sanskrit, I can't tell you about Pancharatra Vidhi. So I'm not an expert. But, Srimurti is burning to add a comment here, because she's...
Prabhupada said that when they installed Kshabaram temple in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said, installed it, you can just do kirtan. But only because of this, all the local pandits, that's why we do all this.
So this is a... My sense is that you're going to get slightly different answers on this, Because it all depends on the approach that you're looking at it. If you're looking at it from a legalistic approach, then you have to follow the vidhis of the Shastra. If you're looking at it from a Bhagavad approach, then you're going to emphasize Harinam and Prema and these things, you see. So, you know, most of us have to kind of, we have to balance it a little bit. Because Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatri Vidhin Vina, Aikandiki Herer Bhakti Rupata Iva Kalpate. We see this. There are many, many things. One thing that Srila Prabhupada was very concerned about before he left this world in 1977 is that he didn't want devotees to invent things, concoct things in deity worship. He really was concerned about that. And they did it anyways. Many things I've seen in so many concoctions. So, you know, that's why in our stage, neophyte stage, it's good to go by the book. Because, you know, we can't really rely on the assumption that we're more advanced than we are. Okay? This is the point. This is the real point. You go to your guru and you follow whatever your guru says. And if
when they get DDs, the first thing they do is they take their DDs or a picture of their DDs to the spiritual master, take blessings from the spiritual master. Mm-hmm. Maybe the guru will give the name for the DDs.
Mm.
Obviously, the guru cannot go everywhere, so then the devotees come back, do an abhishek.
Yeah, then it's okay.
That's then. What is done. And then this is not like, they're not doing a formal pran pratishtha where you take.
Well, that's what I'm saying has to happen, though. I don't see this in Prabhupada's books. I just don't see it. So somebody, whoever's doing that, you tell them they can write me and enlighten me, because I don't know about it. You had a question.
So we had a lot about paying obeisances in today's class. So I want to hear from you what is the correct way to pay obeisances and what should be our prayer when we pay the obeisances.
We're getting very legalistic tonight.
We'll have 1-to-1 for me.
Paying obeisances. Well, you know, Shashtanga Dandavat means your toes, your knees, and your hands. And you have to put your head, of course. Ashtang means all flat, but women don't do that. So, you know, otherwise you can also pranam, you know, the. Like I said, just like in deity worship, there's any number of relative standards. There are any number of ways to offer obeisances. It all depends on Vesha Kala Patra, no? But we should do what we're as much as we're able to do at all times. This is the point. Internally, dandavats have to be done internally as well as externally. Not that just the body is there, but the mind is thinking about, you know, what you're going to buy at Target later this afternoon. This is the point. And deity worship is also that way. There's antara puja and there's bahya puja. But antara puja is a more important thing. It's powerful, but it's also a more sensitive thing, so you have to be careful. Okay? Is that all right? Yes.
I don't know how to put this question, but I'll try.
Put it in a legal way.
You said that women are more... sensitive, but this is a sensitive question, please don't mind. You said women are more akin to take to Krishna consciousness than men are. I mean, their bhakti is much more stronger, right?
Well, I don't want to make a blanket statement, but we see that
in
women
general,
are enthusiastic about
general,
Krishna
right?
consciousness. It's true.
Now, isn't it true that we get 50% of that benefit?
No, it is not true. Women get 50% of whatever bhakti the husband does, but the husband does not get 50% of whatever bhakti the woman does, the wife does.
Why is that so? That's fine.
Because you have to, it's a trade-off. It's a trade-off. You want a position of authority, you have to have responsibility greater, no? And if you're ready to be humble, then you get more mercy.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Yes.
On these
percentages, how does this work with the children?
Well, the Bhagavatam says you should not even become a parent unless you can deliver your children, and that's on both parents. Pitana sasyat, janinina sasyat. Both of them are explicitly named. So it would seem that the parents have equal responsibility. Children are not expected. The children, until they're, what, 8, 10, 12 years old, it's not expected that they have any responsibility. But the parents have to instill in them the values by which, when they do mature, then they can carry on with their own sense of what's right and wrong. That much the parents have to do. It's a big responsibility. Otherwise, Prabhupada is always constantly criticizing that people just have children like cats and dogs without any thought of anything. Murha drisha. Yes, Mata.
Prabhuji, I have a question. We have heard that Shaligram doesn't require an installation
on. Oh, this is a very good question. You have a Shaligram Shila. Shaligram Shila is unique in the world of deity worship because Shaligram Shila does not require installation. The Shaligram Shila is already installed. You don't have to ask the Lord to inhabit that Shaligram Shila because it is already within the Shaligram Shila. This is called Swayampu form. So, but we do have to worship. You cannot keep a Shaligram Shila without doing daily puja of some sort, at least as Panchopachara. Yeah, Hona Chaya. Is that okay?
And one has to be Brahmin to.
Yeah, you have to twice initiate it also by bona fide Vaishnava. Yes?
So, Prabhuji, in this prayer, like Krishna Vasudevaya, when you said that Yashoda Maya is not mentioned, but then what is Nand Gop Kumara?
She is mentioned, but not until text 31, which we're going to, we'll do that later. Gopyada Dirtvi Kratagati Dhamma Tavet Ityadi.
What is that? Nanda Gop Kumara. What is Gop?
Gop means the cowherd men. Or the cowherd boys also. Either way, you want to look at it. Yeah, so he couldn't, beyond Nanda Maharaj, he couldn't go because it would just be too much. Yashoda's love is too intense and the Gopi's love is even more intense. So he doesn't mention explicitly, or she doesn't mention it in this case. Okay? Yes? Prabhupada writes here. The Lord descends into each and every one of the innumerable universes as Garbhodha Kashai Vishnu, who grows a lotus stem from the lotus-like depression of the center of his transcendental abdomen. And thus Brahma, the first living being in the universe, is born. Therefore the Lord is known as Pankajanabhi, because the lotus is coming out of his navel. This deity in Jarandram, Ananta Shayana Swami, Padmanabha Swami, he's also got the lotus coming from his navel. That's why he's called Padmanabha. Okay? So that's Garbhodha Kashai Vishnu. Okay, anything else?
So much more what will be here all night.
Sorry?
So much more what will be here all night.
But these prayers are so rich. We have a whole week of them. Who knows what kind of wonders await us. I just glanced at the commentaries on this section of the Bhagavatam for 5 minutes before we came. If I study more, then there's so much. Okay. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
His Grace Mukunda Prabhu ki.
Jai. Bhaktavrinda ki.